Good morning. You have a lot of heavy things on your plate today. Little introduction. My wife grew up in this church. When I started dating my wife in college, she talked about her church, and man, it sounded like a good church. And then I got to meet Pastor Bob, and he immediately anointed me as the Virginian, because I'm actually born in Maryland, but I grew up in Virginia. So he would teach Kathy, and she would say, "You're looking for the Virginian." I think there was a TV program about the same time, so that's probably how he did it all. Went to college, graduated back in the early 70s, ended up pastoring churches here in the state of Michigan. And all along, all that time, was very interested in missions. In the late 70s, early 80s, we ended up with a group called New Tribes Mission. It was kind of an unusual marriage at the beginning because we had heard nothing good about the mission. We had been told that you had to sell everything you have and give to the mission. And we said, well, we don't have too much. We just don't think that's right. And along with many other rumors, we found that not to be true. Went through the missionary training, and because of our background, they asked us if we would be willing to work on the home end for a while. And they assigned us to work in a little place called Rochester, Pennsylvania. And you're going to look on a map. That is just north of Pittsburgh. And that's where our youngest daughter, Faith, who most of you probably know, was born. And she grew up there for several years, and then we were transferred down to Eastern Kentucky. Worked there 2 years. In total, in all that time, our ministry took about 17 years. Once in Kentucky, we, even prior to that, but even after we got into Kentucky, the Lord continued to burden our heart about the need to challenge people for missions. So in 1998, I believe it was, we were assigned to that responsibility, so we left the what we called in those days, and some of you would know, the boot camp ministry, and went into mission representation. And we thought we would be assigned to the Carolinas because of the big population there, and they said, no, we want you to go to Michigan. And we said, why do you want us to go to Michigan? Man, you know, you got a Bible school down there in Jackson, you don't need us. And they said, that's exactly why we need you, because many places in the state of Michigan have never heard of New Tribes. So we moved here, and for a couple years, 4 or 5, something like that, you were gracious enough to let us live over in what is, I don't know if it still is, but in those days was referred to as the Price House. And we started our ministry there. What we're going to do now, by the way, you've supported us, Pastor, since 1980 is our calculation, which makes, something like 38 years. If you look in the book of Acts, you don't need to turn. I'll just mention it to you. In Acts chapter 15, when Paul was coming back from one of his missionary journeys, he was asked to appear in Jerusalem with the apostles. I'll read for you. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia, Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they had great joy unto all the brethren. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were received of the church of the apostles and elders, and they were able to declare the great things that God had done. Our purpose today will be to declare the great things God has done. We can't do that with buildings because our ministry has not been a building ministry with, you know, buildings and all that kind of stuff. We're going to do it with people. And to start us out, we're going to do something. We pray it works. If it doesn't work, I'll have to explain it to you. But the guys are going to show you a YouTube video. And the YouTube video is a little clip thing when the folks in Ivory Coast who were growing chocolate beans understood what the beans were being used for. So this is going to be Ivory Coast people's first taste of chocolate. It is in French, but you don't have to read French. It will give you captions under it, and I may even repeat the captions. Okay, guys, let's see if it works. Okay, you guys can stop that and actually go to the first slide. While they're getting that set up, read you a verse out of 3 John chapter 1, verse 4. I have no greater joy to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, for some of you individually have supported us. Some actually for 38 years. Some of you have supported us for less. If you're visiting the day, you may not even know us. But if you've been connected to this church for any number of years, you all have invested in us. Many of you, though, I'm not sure if you know what we have done with those 38 years. The only way we can tell you about those 38 years is what brings us great joy. And we're going to go through a series of slides. All they are pictures of people crammed in there. You will only recognize 3 or 4 of them because our ministry hasn't just been with the people you know. For example, on this first slide, Wayne and Diane Baker, we met. They were in our institute in Pennsylvania. You probably don't even know the name. They live when they're on furlough. They live in Arizona. But what you do not know, he is working on his third tribe to reach. That's tremendous. Most missionaries, if they reach a tribe, they consider that, wow, that's big time stuff. This guy and his wife, he is just good with languages, and he is now into his third tribe, all different languages. Some of you have prayed for summit teams. That gal was on our summit team in 2001, I believe. She went through the training, met Hector in Mexico. They just finished their training at the missionary training school, and now, of course, they're heading back to Mexico. I'd like to point this single gal out right there. Chris Holland. Chris, by the way, lives in Sanford, Florida. So she's somehow connected to the hurricane today, I'm sure. But Chris came to us. She's a single gal. She is an artist. She's never been on the mission field. But when you pick up a Ethnos 360, or if you've read a Brown Gold or a New Tribe Mission at Work, somewhere in your life, she's probably had her hands on it, drawing the pictures. See, all our missionaries that go out, they're not all tribal guys like the Bakers. Chris is a person who's never gone, but she's been crucial to reaching people who do not have the gospel. We'll deal with this couple later. He may be the next one. This is a couple that we got to work with at the Jackson Bible School. He is the only other male in New Tribes Mission with my last name. Kind of found him interesting. And he is actually from the Pittsburgh area. This couple down here are from Michigan. They're from Montcalm County, or at least she is. They work now in Guinea, West Africa. While living at the Price House, my first survey work was of Montcalm County. While I was there, I ran across a Christian school. And those of you who are connected to the Old Grove Christian School, Calvin Lake Christian School. Went up and challenged. She thought she would like to go with us to Bolivia. And Kyle knows her. Any of you that have been in that neck of the woods might know of her. Her name is Nancy Ralston. She got married to Michael Dorr. And now they're in heavy language study in Guinea, West Africa. And they're planning to go to the Xhosa people of Guinea. That came out of Grove Bible Church, really. There's some other ones we'll talk about in a minute. This couple, they're from Ireland. You wouldn't know them. If you ever met him, he would make a lasting impression on you because he cannot say two sentences without stuttering, seriously. When he came to us from Ireland, we had never had a European student at our training school. He and another couple came, and both couples eventually ended up in Ivory Coast. But Paul and Marina came, and they were really a very, very sweet couple. Very conservative. If you know any of the things of Ireland, he followed the teachings of Ian Paisley. He came, and when he would stand up to speak in any of our meetings, you just sat there and dreaded for him. Paul, let me say what you want to say for you. Because he couldn't speak really very good. He graduated and talked to Paul. And I said, Paul, what do you plan to do when you go to Ivory Coast? Oh, I'm going to work in a tribe. Well, Paul, you know, you got this thing of stuttering. Yeah, but I've heard when you learn your second language, you don't stutter. So I'm looking forward to go so I can learn French. And after I learn French, since I won't stutter in French, whatever tribe I end up, I'll have two languages I can speak without stuttering. So I'm excited about that. So he goes through the field, comes back on furlough. I see Paul. I said, Paul, how's it going? How did that language work out for you? He said, Dan, I stutter in English. I stutter in French. And I stutter in Laron. All three languages I stutter. By the way, I should tell you, he's established seven churches in the tribe of the Laron of Ivory Coast. Not bad for a guy who can't talk very good. Praise the Lord for that. You've had a part in that guy's life. He doesn't know you and you don't know him, but you've had a part. Man, where do we start with this couple? This girl right here, her name now is Debbie Bosley. She's married to Bill Bosley, and they work in Senegal, West Africa. Debbie probably was the first person that Kathy and I challenged into the work while working in Pennsylvania. Went to a church. She was a single gal, a nurse. We encouraged her to consider missions, and the next thing we know, she's off to Bible school. And while she's at Bible school, she kind of meets this guy, Bill, and you know the story after that. And now they've been in Senegal and probably been there close to 20 years or more. But they're part of your work. It's not just us. It's part of them. This couple here, he came to us a single guy. I've never met his wife, but obviously he met her. They work in the Philippines. He's worked in very dangerous situations. He's had to leave because of terrorists, but recently he and his wife are doing quite well. This was one right there. This guy was one of our first students when we worked on what was referred to as student staff in Durant, Mississippi. He eventually ended up in Papua New Guinea. And now he works as a representative in the great state of Kansas. And he would tell you quickly, he's a Jayhawker. because he's big into that. You obviously know our daughter Joy and her husband Dwayne. This couple you do not know, unless you know anything about Papua New Guinea. Steve and Carolyn Crockett. And look at my wife. What is the video that they've been doing? About the Moy. If you've looked on the internet, been around any new tribes, you may have seen a video about the Moy people of Papua. This is one of the key guys that was involved in that work. There is an excellent video on the New Tribe site about this guy working with the Moy people, and he talks about a rainbow. So if you got time, look at the ethno site. You would enjoy that. This couple here, still in the mission. He's a pilot. He's retired. Doesn't fly now for us. He was actually down there when Noriega in Panama was overthrown. Bullets were flying over that guy's head. Doug and Sharon helped. This actually is a couple that we challenged when I was pastoring a church. I challenged John, and he went to Bible school and met Janice, and they live happily ever after. Actually working member care for us out there in Wisconsin. This couple right here, they're from Belgium. I have another slide I'll show you that connects them to a young couple. But his name is Koen and Anna Laura. He is fabulous working with computers. But God's been gracious to us and allowing us to be exposed to those people. Most of you would not know this couple. You look real close, you might pick up a resemblance. Somebody that you know is connected to her. We'll show you that one in a little bit. This is Ans Vestafal. She is from Belgium. And when she first came to the state, she let us know who she was and where she was from with this statement. If you're not Dutch, you're not much. She has worked as a single gal in Guinea probably for 20, 25 years. Her ministry is simply with children and some ladies. This gal is from one of our summit teams. Actually, it was her sister that we showed you earlier in Mexico. They actually do not work with ethnos. They work with another mission, and they work in Nicaragua. This guy here, he is a U.S. citizen, but he is more Brazilian than he is American, and he and his wife work in Brazil. This guy is one of our recent guys. He is actually from my home church. Walked in on a Sunday night, spoke to the church, met the assistant pastor's son as we talked to Zach. I said, Zach, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And he said, I don't know. I said, are you happy with it? No. Well, I got an idea for you, Zach. Why don't you go to Bible school? And Zach said, he looked at me like that was the last thing he wanted to do. And I said, the problem with you, Zach, is you're an MK. And most Bible schools do not understand you because you're an MK. But we got a Bible school that understands you. Why don't you go to Waukesha, Wisconsin? They understand MKs. In fact, there's a lot of MKs up there. And Zach, by the way, graduated this past spring and is planning. Well, he's already in Brazil. Nice part about it for him, he's found a Brazilian girl that he really seems to like a lot. Interesting guy. There's some others that we could keep you occupied with. But we'll pick this. Actually, this slide comes out of the very first slide we showed you. This is a couple. Frank, you may have met this couple. Probably wouldn't remember him too much, except they were pretty nice and had a bunch of kids. They're from Houston, Texas. Ned and Lynn Beal. They are both pilots, but neither can fly for us. She's a mother with a bunch of kids. He's a diabetic, so we don't want him flying for us. So his plan when he came into the mission was to work as a mechanic with us. And as he and his wife worked with us in Cornetsville, Kentucky, we said, this is a good couple. We want to keep them. So he qualified as a mechanic out in Arizona, finished our training in Kentucky, and then ended up in Missouri, Mission and Training Center. While he was there, he was asked this question: is your heart set on being a mechanic? And he said, well, that's something I can do. I can do that, so I'm willing to do that. I know I can do that. And they said, Ned, you and your wife took a test when you got here. You are both linguists. If you're interested, you two can go work in a tribe. But we give you that choice. What do you want to do? Ned said, man, we want to go to the tribe. They live on a little island. The only way to get there is by boat, forget a plane, off the coast of West New Britain or New Ireland. If they ever had a tsunami, they would be in heaven, let me tell you, because that thing is about 6 inches above sea level. I have a nice church there. There are believers. I'd like to take the time and just tell you how they work with the people, but don't have time. Pastor, have me come back and I'll tell you. The couple I mentioned that's from Belgium, that's his son. He's a pilot. 2011, my wife and I were in Papua New Guinea, actually with a church team from our home church, and Kuhn was coming. Kuhn knew we were coming, so we got together, and he said, I want you to meet my son, Josh. Josh wanted to be a pilot. He did his training over here in Ionia, and while he was over there, he met Aaron, so now they are working out of Papua New Guinea. While we were here at Grove Bible Church, we met this couple. They had no children. We met her through international aid. They wanted to go to the field. They had debt. And somebody vast, if you got a good memory, might remember me about 2002 or something getting up and saying, we got this couple who want to go to the mission field, but they have debt. They ended up in Iowa with about $10,000 worth of debt from college. And I told him, I said, well, if you pray about it and believe God, God has been known to pay off debt. They had to pick a church. They picked a church. There were two. They picked, let's say, church 2 or B. They picked that church, was there a couple weeks, and they said, would you be willing to speak at the ladies' tea? And she said, yeah, I'll talk about the ladies' tea. I'm going to talk about missions. They said, okay, come talk about missions. The next Sunday, a family met them at the door and said this: we understand you're interested in missions. And they said, yes. And they said, why don't you go? And they said, because we owe money. And they said, how much do you owe? About $10,000, $11,000, somewhere in there. You come tonight and bring me the exact amount, and I will pay it off, and we'll see if you go. And they said, we'll be in training the next fall. They were. It's all paid off. They've been in New Guinea. Now they work out in Arizona. Boy, see that couple up there? I'm going to need him in a minute. There they are. Logan Teal, his wife Kendra. If you know where West Branch, Michigan is, Logan was going to a Christian school in Saginaw. Let's see, Grace Baptist Church, for those who might remember that. He was going there, and we had just moved to Saginaw, and we called the principal up, and we said, we need somebody to help us move the bathtub. It's too heavy. We're getting a different one in. We're going to put a plastic one in. The old cast iron thing's too heavy to move. And she said, I got the guy for you. And she sent us Logan. So Logan came over, and I said, Logan, I hear you might have an interest in missions. He said, I really do. I said, let's get the bathtub moved, and we'll talk. About 3 hours later, I did pay him. About 3 hours later, after some bows and arrows that I had received from Bolivia, I gave a bunch to him. And Logan went out and didn't hear any more from Logan. About 2 years after that, we found that Logan got married, and Logan's at the Jackson Bible School. And Logan and Kendra are in Indonesia, have been there. I think they're about ready to go back for their second term. This couple right here, she's a Buckeye. You might recognize this couple here. Anybody recognize that couple there? You should. One of your girls. His dad was that one. I said, you better watch that one because you're going to know that one. I should tell you about this one. He's been on there somewhere. While we were living there, our first meeting outside speaking in the church, we got a meeting at Capital City Christian School in Lansing. Some of you may know of it. We went down there, talked to the principal, and he said, yeah, you can come back on Thursday, do your thing, and you can see what happens. So we actually went down there that Thursday, showed a video called Etau. Some of you are familiar with that. While we were down there, we had a good time with the students. Didn't know anything else that happened. That would have been about 1996. No, 98. In 1998, we were down there. In 2011, I am sitting with the Tobu people in Papua New Guinea. And I looked at this guy named Jason. I said, Jason, how did you end up in New Tribes Mission? He said, well, it's not a very big story. Not flashy like, somebody sees stars and all that stuff. I said, well, how'd you do it? He said, I was going to a Christian school and a missionary guy came from New Tribes, showed this video. And I saw that video, man. I was ready to go, man. Who was the missionary? Have no idea, don't know him. Don't even remember him. I kind of knew it was me. But when somebody tells you didn't make an impression, you just don't go back and say, was it me? So we kept going round and round and round. And he said, well, not only was I challenged to go to missions that day, but my best friend was. By the way, when my daughter Faith was in Indonesia, guess who her co-worker was? This guy's best friend. We didn't know any of that until 2011. So we kept talking, and I said, what year and all that, what month and all that. Finally figured out, I said, Jason, I was that guy. And he looked at me with the only way Jason could do it, smile, and he said, I'm sorry, you didn't make much of an impression. I said, that's okay, Jason. I didn't have to. God did. By the way, Jason is on his second tribe. That's amazing. Last slide for you. Iraq War. The United States had just started bombing Iraq. I'm in Dublin, Ohio, just west of Columbus. I had been invited to go to a missions conference. We were living in Saginaw at the time. I go to Saginaw. I agree to go down there. And for 3-4 days, I sat there and do absolutely nothing. I never set up a display. I'm never asked to pray except for a meal at home. Nothing. And I'm saying, what am I doing with my time down here, God? This does not make any sense to me. I know there's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, but this thing just is not fitting for me today. But I did find that there was a young lady interested in going on a summit trip to Bolivia. So I was working with her and her parents. Actually, I was staying with her parents, and they were very in favor of going. And she looked at me, and she said, would it be okay if I invited my friend? Yeah, man, if I can get one, I'll take two. That'll be good. So We met this gal. Her name is Elizabeth. Elizabeth stands about that tall, and she has the most squeaky little voice to me. Wow, interesting girl. And so she went to Bolivia with us. By the way, the other girl didn't even go. I don't even remember the other girl's name. But Elizabeth went and was excited about what God was going to do. She goes and she comes back. She wants to go back to Brazil the next year on a trip. She goes back to Brazil, comes back, and her parents said this to us, to her. We know you want to be a missionary, but you've got to go to a Christian college where you can have a job to fall back on and make money. That's what her parents said. She said, okay, what school do I go to? They said, we have one picked out for you called Cedarville University. She said, okay. Just want you to know, that's not where I feel God is leading me. They said, we understand that. You go to Cedarville, and then you can go to that New Tribes place. Okay? I'm going to do that. She goes 1 year or less than, I think it's one semester. She goes one semester. She comes back and shows her dad a bill. And she said, Dad, I want you to know God has put missions on my heart. I just want you to know that. And if I get this bill every semester, there is no way I will ever pay it off. Wise dad being a wise dad looked at her and said, Elizabeth, what would you like to do? And she said, I think God wants me in the missions. I will get my bill paid off, and I want to go to Jackson Bible School. We didn't know any of that had transpired. One day we're down there, and we hear Elizabeth in the background. We know, I can't remember her name, but I know who it is. It's God to be Elizabeth. We meet Elizabeth. She's single, and she's pretty excited about getting to see Dan and Kathy. We start praying for her for her husband, because she's, I'd like to get married, guys. And we said, okay, we'll pray for you. She ends up out at Wyoming, visiting with the senior class. She goes out there, and there's this guy out there who just graduated from Laterno Tech out there in Texas. I think that's where it is. And she's just met him. And you know how that is, you know. Sometimes it, good match. It was a good match. She marries the guy. And I hear they're married, and I'm saying, oh no, they'll probably never make it now. You know, they're going to have a bunch of kids and all this stuff. Well, you notice they did have some kids. By the way, they got another one now. Oh, by the way, they went to missionary training last summer, last fall. They just graduated. They're going to the field. I say all these, give you a couple of illustrations like that. We have no greater joy than to share with you what your money and your prayers have done. It has not been Kathy and I. We've been willing to do it, but you have stood behind us over the years. You guys have been like those guys over there in Ivory Coast. You've never tasted the chocolate. You have never tasted chocolate. Today you're going to taste chocolate. So will those four guys, bastard, you got picked out, come. Take a piece of chocolate and enjoy it. We have enjoyed it all these years, not serving for you. We don't serve for you. We serve with you. Corinthians would call you our co-laborers with God. So I've been waiting to do this for 38 years. Actually, I got the illustration. Pastor and I were together with our wives out in a conference last spring, and I saw that man. I said, man, that is a perfect illustration of what we do, because people don't know what we do, and therefore they don't ever get to taste the chocolate. You know, that's just the ones that are in training and have gone on to the field. We have we could talk to you about some that have gone on to the field, now retired, or done something else. Man, you got a long history. I guess you've figured out that your shadow covers the world in missions. It was a thrill to our heart as we came into the church. You're not only a burden about the fields, you're a burden about your citizens in this country, their needs, and you're willing to open up your billfolds saying, what can we do? Hey, we'll give them $10 or $20 or $100 or whatever. You generally, as a church, have not been self-centered. For a missionary, that's really encouraging. After you get your candy, if you want to take it home, if you want to take home for your kid, there's probably enough, you are dismissed. Just rejoice in the Lord, what he's done, at least with your missionaries, for 38 years. Should we pray? Well, then why don't you pray?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for Dan and Kathy, for the work that you have given them to do to support and lead people into missions, to challenge them. Lord, I just ask that you would use us, use our children, our resources to further your word here in the our country, our community, and around the world, Lord. We just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Enjoy your chocolate.